the 30, from the 40, no, 38 team, or which team?
Yeah.
The
yeah.
38?
Because when I went to the 44 dinner for the St. Cat, like the yeah. St. Catharines, there was three guys at the dinner that were from 44, and two guys were still alive, but they weren't there, so it was five guys still remaining from the 44.
Well, Gus Matson always said, she had to call him, you take him. He didn't want any part of me.
Jim McMahon always told me the toughest guy he always faced was George Masters.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know anything about George Masters.
Gus the Alababa.
Gus the Alababa Masterson.
Yeah.
Big black mustache.
Yeah.
Yeah, George Masters, he was a good player. He's short.
I remember him.
Short, and he could score goals when you needed them. He was a hot and cold player, though. You know, if you really needed a couple of goals, you could go and get them. But you know,
you remember Rex Steimer?
Rex Steimer, of course. Yeah.
He used to broadcast right by the players' bench. You know.
Right.
He'd holler at the players, and they'd holler back at him. And he was a character.
But he's also
he got excited. He's back and climbing over the board.
I know what I missed. I was too young to be there to watch it played in a bowl.
Some fire
lights and
nice
to
play too.
Right, sister. Ready to start.
No, Mimico, all the years I was there, was still out of doors.
Wow.
So was St. Catharines. So was Long Branch.
The only indoor, when I played, the only indoor places, when you and I played, Gord, and I'm after you, but the only places that were indoor were Owen Sound and Furnace. Everything else was outdoors. There wasn't, Hamlin was outdoors, St. Catharines. Mimico,
Brampton
was outdoors. Yes, definitely was outdoors. Yeah, the Rose Bowl.
Hague Bowl was outdoors.
Yeah.
Hague Bowl. Yeah.
Miller Bowl in Peterborough.
That's right too. I played outdoors there. Yeah.
I remember Mimico.
What was Hamlin?
You went in the corners.
I don't know.
Loose ball. It was all loose. The dirt was all loose there.
You know what? Mike lacrosse career ended in the southwest corner. Because I went for a loose ball, picked it up, faked one way, and went the other, and I just ruined my knee completely. In those days, they didn't fix your knee. Before it was 52.
In Mimico?
It was 52 in Mimico. And didn't play. I think I tore the cartilage and the ligament the same. I just did everything.
Yeah.
And about 5 years later, I went back to a doctor to see if he might fix it up. And they were starting to do some things as well. 5 years old, I wouldn't do it because, you know, the chance you get a stiff leg. I said, I'm not going to take that chance because it didn't.
I remember the best goal I ever scored against Bill Whitaker. The ball went in the corner, see? And I went in after it, he went in after it. And I got the ball, and I just looped it over like that, in the net. And he was vacated the net, see?
Yeah. He'd be pretty mad then.
Yeah, he used to get out, scored a lot like that.
Yeah, he was a pretty wild man, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, right now, you're the story there. Wild, you and he got in a fight. Your daughter's going to be teasing you about that one.
What were the Hamilton Mimico Arenas called, the bowl names?
Scott Bowl Arena.
Scott Bowl Arena was
Mimico Scott Bowl, and then Mimico is the Drummond Street Bowl.
Yeah. Oh, Mimico.
Oh, Scott!
I never
heard.
I never heard tell of the Hamilton one.
I think it was called the Scott Street Bowl. Or the Barton Street Bowl, one or the other, I'm not sure which. Maybe Barton Street.
No, I don't know.
Hey, well, you played there all those years, and you...
I don't know, I just drove down the game. I don't know. It was right where Iowa Wind Stadium is, in the same complex.
My Uncle Norm used to take the junior team down when he coached to the Indian Reserve in Quebec. We'd play two exhibition games against the Caughnawaga Indians. And we'd all go down, we'd go down by train and we'd play these two exhibition games on the reserve. And we played an outdoor box there that was just awful, and there was these big stone walls around it, right on the St. Lawrence. And, you know, half of it would be gravel, half of it would be grass, and all the natives would be watching and throwing stuff at you. So on the first year I'm down there, the first year I'm playing junior, and I was really hot to try to score, and the goalie had no mask on. And I got three or four goals, and we were way ahead, and Norm pulled us aside and says, you know, we can't win this game, we can't. We got to slow down, because if we win this game, we'll never get out of here. So, the next period, I took a shot and I hit this goalie right in the throat. Well, and anyway, we ended up easing up and we tied the game. And I remember sitting out in a car, and they locked me in this car out in the parking lot so that the people wouldn't get at me for hitting this poor guy. And it was a huge guy. All these guys were high steel workers. They worked down on the, in New York on the high steel.
Oh, yeah.
And Billy Two Rivers and people like that. And they were just... But, you know, after the game, we stayed on the reserve and had a great time after that.
We were just talking on the way up here. Was Norm Gehr, did he get in the Hall of Fame as a builder or a player?
He's a builder.
Is he?
Yeah, he's a builder. I'm positive.
What?
Norm. Was Norm in the Hall of Fame as a builder or a player?
As a builder.
See, they're pretty long career as a player, too.
He was everything there in Mimico Lacrosse. I mean, for so many years. And, you know, I mean, half those kids couldn't afford sticks, and he'd go up to the reserve and get a few sticks and never got paid for them. And, you know, there's lots of kids that owe a lot to him. You know, driving everywhere, buying them lunch.
Yeah.
Just unbelievable.
Quiet and unassuming.
Yeah, did the same thing for us when we were kids. Like, we had some kids in Cookeville that weren't well off, and you talk to them now, you know, and they'll say, oh, yeah, you know, just buy us lunch. And,
I remember the old field game, you know, when in the field across section, when they're brand new, you know, you're very erratic when throwing. I forget who it was. This brand new stick. He threw one pass and it was way off, and he goes,
broke it on his knee.
I've heard of golfers being crazy, but
oh, that'd be out. You'd be playing a game. You had a real favorite stick. That, you know, you always usually had one stick, or maybe two. You break your favorite stick when you cross check something.
Yeah.
Break your heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like when we played those Indians and on the car.
Well, you're all the time adjusting your stick.
They broke three sticks in one game.
Holy deal.
Yeah, they were so big, you know. Remember another time showing up to play a junior game in Hastings. And my dad and my mom were at a cottage somewhere, maybe up in Muskoka. And I forgot my stick at the cottage. So we had to phone, finally got a hold, and we had to drive all the way over to Hastings from Muskoka with this lacrosse stick. And he'll tell you the story, but Ross Barner was coaching and showed up just in the nick of time, and Ross said, oh, thank God. Remember that?
Yeah.
And you had to drive my lacrosse stick over?
Yeah.
Talk about a dedicated father.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't done it since. Skates.
Yeah.
You know, they show up some tournament without their skates.
Well, the original sticks were clock cord. You know, before they
ran
a box across, it was all leather. Clock cord, you know that?
Yeah.
It was kind of hard.
Yeah.
They'd take forever to break in.
See, the kids now, I mean, the sticks now, they just sold them in the garage and they'd be just exactly the same. Those old leather sticks, you'd always have to be working.
You're working it out.
It spoils the game, though.
It does. But we would have certain guys we would not play catch with before the game. Like a guy like Harris Hunter. Remember Harris Hunter?
Yeah.
He'd throw the ball so hard, your stick would be, you'd be hooking by the time the game started. So you'd just stay away from him. Just throw it nice and easy, you know.
Well, when we play, you carry the ball and just, your stick would be still carrying the ball up until you met some guy that was going to check you, but the way they go now, they're going a mile a minute twirling their sticks.
Is that show or what?
Yeah, partly. I think
well, I know what I think of the sticks now, they're perfectly symmetrical, so they're perfectly balanced.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the old sticks are wood on one side, so they weren't balanced.
Yeah.
And so there's a natural feel that you had the ball there and where the ball was in your stick with these things.
Yeah,
I think
yeah,
you
yeah.
have to keep it moving to know where it is.
Well, when I got a new stick, do you have any of the new sticks, Grant?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we've got. I got a new one, and when I first got it, my daughter bought me the stick, and I played catch a few times. That doesn't feel right. Doesn't feel right. You can't feel the ball in there.
Yeah.
There's no feeling of the ball in the bottom of the stick. Not bad to throw with after you get used to
it. Oh, yeah. They're
fine.
Accurate. And they can really fire the ball with those. No question about it. There's a fair bit of width to those things. But the head's very light, too. That's the other
thing. Yeah. There's... You think the weight of the ball would be... Everything being so light, you'd get a better feel of the ball. But you can't feel the ball the same. Can you still string sticks?
Mm-hmm.
Really? I got two at home. I just want to get some.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jack's son, it was Billy that brought me two Martin frames that his dad had. This was about 10 years ago. I was afraid to. I did them for him, but
yeah.
I had to drill some new holes in them, you know, to make it.
Just
a guard
right.
fit right, so I was so nervous I was going to split it or something. You just don't see those anymore. And I looked at those, I kept them for a long time. I didn't give them back to him right away.
You won't forget.
Well, the way the mouth was on, look at that little stick there. The hardest thing was, it was easy to get this curve. But they also had a curve this way. It was like a spoon. And it was very, very difficult to duplicate that with this method that we were using with lamination. And so I kept and I took pictures of them to see if I could do that. And you know, you can get it somewhat just by the shaping you do at the end, but theirs was all done with draw knives.
Yeah.
All by hand.
Mm-hmm.
And all one piece.
Yeah, we used to have to send down to the States for that clock cord when we made sticks.
Yeah.
So you may see
the letter he got when he started making sticks. He was from the States.
Was it?
Yeah. He's giving me all the stuff. I got it from them too. Yeah, and they have it all cut and stripped for you, ready to go.
Yeah, I don't know where the sticks feel pretty good, but they're my daughter bought them. Once again, my daughter's an enthusiast for lacrosse. She bought them at a garage sale or something like that, like $5 a piece. Not bad feeling sticks. There's no name on them.
Mm-hmm. There's so many now, different heads and so on. It's just ridiculous. Like my son now, he's got a stick that's so narrow. I mean, a ball can barely fit in. It's almost illegal. And he can't use it. He's not supposed to use it playing field. They have to be a certain width.
Mm-hmm.
But he does use it. I've seen him. He exchanges it, goes out, and I said, "What is one stick?"
Well, it depends on what they call them, cover port and port and field across.
Oh, I love
a great big long pole.
Long pole.
Yeah.
Were the rules the same then, like 9 men and 3 attack, 3 defenders, 3 midfielders?
They were 11 at one point, I think.
Was
it? Yeah, I think it was 11. I'm not positive, it was 11.
When I played at Waterloo, we had a Rover in field lacrosse. We had 3-3-3, the Rover, and the goalie. So that's 11.
Yeah, that's what I couldn't remember that, too. They play 9 now.
Do they?
Yeah.
Including the goalie, or?
No, 10 with the goalie.
10 with the goalie.
3-3-3, 2 midfielders. 3 attacks. 3 long poles, they call them.
Remember, Trev Harris used to play goal for Mimico, you know, and he'd make a stop and pick the ball up and it'd go out of bounds, you know. That's how we got our balls. balls.
When you were a kid. Yeah.
Moon Wooten used to do that too.
Did he?
Remember him?
Yeah. Peterborough. Yeah. Well, Owen Salmon, Peterborough.
Yeah.
He was on 5-man cups in a row.
Yeah, he was something. We used to do the same thing at Dixie Arena. We'd sit up behind the net, and we'd yell at him to flip it up, so he'd make the save.
If the kid did.
Get a ball, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think Johnny Davis is the best player I ever played against.
He was my guy.
I mean, in some of their, he and Gaylord were different types of players. But Johnny Davis was unbelievable. I thought.
Look what I found yesterday that we were missing all those years.
Fucking
files. An 8-game. That was the only time I... That was the only play
mm-hmm.
I ever played a game. We had to go out with a six-player hand because of the crowd.
Yeah,
it was some sort of vicious game we played. And
yeah.
Well, I got the regular season, but
Turkus is a phenomenal lacrosse town. Turkus and Kits and field lacrosse there in New York. I forgot that Turkus
was a
friend.
Turkus was a friend.
Yeah.
And that was from the ORA. They didn't have it in 1969 status.
Joe Berg.
Or no.
71.
71.
71.
Same year.
71. 71. 71. 71. 71. 71. 71. 71. 71.
71. 71. 71. 71. 71. 71.
71. 71. 71.
71. 71. 71. 71. 71.
71. 71. 71. 71. 71. 71.
71. 71. 71. 71. 71. 71. 71.
Johnny
JP playing it. Later, like some of the stats I've done later, in like the later 30s, 37, 38.
Yeah. And,
Well, are these just playoffs then?
That's the 8-game playoffs around Robin. And
I forget the guy you took
three games against Toronto in the final. And he had 6
for Ferguson.
Yeah. So 11 games.
Can't think of his name.
Yeah, Bobby Brown, I remember him from as well.
You didn't, did you do any refereeing after you finished playing?
No. Enough trouble with them.
Enough trouble with referees.
What's that big, policeman?
I sat next to Scoop Hayes' son at the dinner recently. Over at the Hall of Fame.
He's still there.
He died five years ago. But he was just inducted into Canadian Lacrosse Hall of Fame a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I remember
and
when
Bobby Allen,
Scoop Hayes and George Masters came out to play with Mimico.
Gaylord and I,
and they played the neighbor. Scoop passed to George, right?
Yeah,
a bunch of those.
Scoop, a lot more assists than you got.
George Masters gone too.
Got to be.
Yeah, he died quite a number of years ago.
About 11 years.
Yeah, he must be the only surviving man.
Amazing thing. And they had Van Dyke and Roberts.
Well, you didn't know from my 1948 man. Cup team. There was only myself, Blaine McDonald,
Bobby Allen played,
Doug Davidson,
he looked
and
fine man.
Elmer Lee, the only one still alive.
Elmer's still alive.
Elmer's still alive.
Well, I went to the
He's the guy you want to have in your team, right? You don't want to play against him.
Diano was a hell of a good player.
But you sure want him in your team. Because you could give him a hard dig in the road.
He was in Huntsville.
Yeah, good guy though.
Oh yeah,
and he knew I
good
was
player.
Stick.
Yeah, he was.
Dale was a good player.
He called me and I said, "Well, I've got a couple,"
but
and he wanted to use them in his little. So he came down.
Hard never hurt you dirty. Well, you could hit you hard, hit you good, you know. Never meant to hurt you, but boy.
So he came down, and the ones I had.
Some people they could.
Good.
Check you when you don't notice it. But the other guys are checking and it hurts you every time they check you.
How much money should I bring?
And a heavy stick.
One of my favorites of all was Jeff Davidson, as far as I'm concerned.
Dougie Davidson?
Yeah.
He's a nice guy. He's still alive.
Actually making a business out of it. What better advertising?
Because you wouldn't have played that much with him. You wouldn't have played that much of his era. Are you referring to Chuck Davidson or Dougie Davidson?
And then
I played with both of them.
With both of them, eh?
Dougie was younger than you, and he's one of the few native Hamilton lacrosse players, right on the hill.
Russell T. Kelly used to bring in players from out of town,
you know,
including your brother.
Remember
McKenzie and
I remember playing with Hamilton 1 year. I played one year in Hamilton.
He's a neat guy.
We had Joe Jeevers played there in that year.
In fact, you know, there's a little display.
There's a good centerman.
He would do so easily, you know, there was no big struggle, he just made the right moves.
All of a sudden the ball was in his stick, he had the ball.
And they asked me would I make a stick to put in there and place it. And then I said, well, this
and there was Morton, he was a great player.
At least I made up for
him.
He was really a great player,
so I gave him a stick to put in there. I don't know if it's in there.
I guess when you played the biggest rivalry, was probably between St. Catherine and Bimico, wasn't it?
Is that
the biggest rivalry between teams?
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot of work, a lot of old times.
They were the best team in the league.
They were strong all through their lineup, you know.
They had strength everywhere.
Goal?
Yeah. They had Whittaker in goal, and they had Hope, and those guys on defense.
One Bernard.
If I used this, if I would had this, I would never
have it.
Morton.
Madsen. The maps.
Great.
It tells you the cutoff to get off and everything.
We should be heading over here pretty soon so we get home in a reasonable time.
Okay, let me finish second. About 15 minutes.
Okay.
Then we'll have about 2 hours of tapes.
You might have to edit it a little bit, but...
I don't even know how to edit. I just throw it all on. Gord, get Graham. Once this gets put on the Bible, lacrosse, then Graham will tape it, and then he can get it and play it for you.
I can give you
a copy.
Yeah.
The whole lacrosse world will be able to get it.
The thing hasn't blown up yet.
No, this is the second one I've gone to. Let's hear words of wisdom from you.
No words of wisdom. The Garretts are usually pretty quiet people, really.
Yeah, we're known for that.
Seriously,
Well, I think Lord talked more than Ken did, though.
Yeah, yeah, Kenny was...
Kenny had the dick stuff on him. It's hard to think up a lot of questions, you know. I had 9, and then they changed. Do you have any special moments you feel like, let's say in the egg bowl? Do you remember, I guess, when you got that shot when you brought Whitaker out and you threw it over top of him? Would that be probably a memory of the egg bowl? Or maybe the 5,000 fans that they used to get in there?
Well, what I can remember is getting penalty shots. You know?
Oh yeah, they used to you free throws.
The guy, like the guy mauled you. You end up getting a penalty shot. See, and while everybody's arguing, you're standing there looking at the net. Where you're going to shoot? You know?
You took the shot from a certain place.
Yeah, there was a certain. I forget how many feet it was, but. It was a sure thing, you know, if you shot it right, because you were that close.
Well, it was a dotted line.
Pardon?
It was a dotted line.
Yeah.
They call it the penalty shot line.
Yeah,
you were inside that line in a certain way, they give it to you. Tell the story about the one where you put it in the net and you shot too early. We had to do it again.
Oh yeah. Get over anxious.
Tell us the story. What happened?
Well, I stood there and I guess I felt there was some signal and I shot and scored, but it didn't come.
So we had to do it again.
Yeah.
What happened the second time?
You guys stopped it.
Well, that's not the story I heard.
Oh, he changed
the story. I heard it when he scored again. Which wouldn't be easy to do. You know, you use up your tricks on the first one.
Was there any arena you hated going into?
Pardon?
Was there any arena that you hated going to?
The referee?
No. Arena.
Arena
that you just hated. Didn't want to play in that arena.
Well, I don't know. Arena was a real tough place to play.
Why, because of the crowd, or...?
Well, it was so... Everything was so close, you know, and...
That was an outdoor one, was it?
Yeah. I didn't mind playing some gatherings because it was always exciting.
Yeah, because they would have had a good team. Well, really had a good team, too, didn't they?
Yeah.
In the early 30s.
Ferguson was okay.
Brampton, Brampton was a good place to play.
Sometimes the hardest place to play was at home.
Yeah.
We used to put, how many people would they put in that box? What, 2,000, 2,000, 3,000 people? And
something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Did your dad go and watch you play? Was your dad still alive when... You played lacrosse?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When you played against, say, Jack, who would your dad hope for?
I don't know, you better ask him. Too late to ask him.
Yeah, it's always tough for the parent when they're playing for two different teams. Yeah, when my dad, my mom would go to a game in Mimico when I'm playing for Hamilton.
Oh, yeah.
That was a little tough. They cheered for me and the Mimico team.
You know how Ross had 12 kids? What, he had, how many boys he had? 6 or 8?
Who's this?
Ross Paulus.
Oh. I don't know.
Because I was trying to think of it. I heard that 6 of them played on one of his teams one time. He was coaching them, like an ILA team. And I was trying to think, there was Gaylord, Gary, wasn't there a Harry?
Greg? I only knew the two.
And I was remembering.
I met some of the others at the funerals, but I never really knew them. Now, there was another
story I have with my dad.
Delby is
in a restaurant.
Delby is the young
owner of the game.
He's the one that owns the arena.
Just to have that big room here.
In the Memecal,
the grandson of
Judy Punch.
The
Cross Arena.
Judy Punch has got
these kind of money.
Well, one saw me
picture 97 of the Cross.
Got one guy.
Yeah, I remember.
Goalie's mask.
Yeah.